It should be obvious that we cannot solve a crisis with the same methods that got us into it in the first place.
This is a last chance saloon. Because if we don't really take the decisions that are vital now, it's going to be almost impossible to catch up.
We will end the moratorium on extracting our huge reserves of shale, which could get gas flowing as soon as 6 months.
If unprecedented changes are not made and made soon, there will be irreversible damage to the planet.
Zero carbon. East Hall.
Hello and welcome to Zero Carbonista Series 4 Fool's Gold. I'm Ian Collins and this is the UK's number one environment-based podcast. If it's green, it's in. It might be bank holiday, but as we move into the Easter weekend, the enviro agenda stops for no one. Let's speak to our man with his handsome basket of vegan chocolate eggs. He's the green entrepreneur and environmentalist, Dale Vince. How are you, Dale?
I thought you just called me a handsome basket, Ian.
Handsome bastard.
Yeah. but you didn't.
That's what they say in the West Country, isn't it, Dale?
That's where I am now.
So listen, I know that, you know, we often talk about our mutual hatred of Christmas. Where are you on the Easter thing?
Oh, Easter. Well, you know, it's like a small version of Christmas, isn't it? You know, you're still obliged by peer pressure and commercial pressure and all that other kind of nonsense to I don't know, do stuff, buy chocolate, take time off, you know, send cards maybe, you know.
Remember as a kid, it was always the poor man's Christmas, wasn't it?
Was it? I have no idea.
Never quite up there with, you know, they try to kind of fool you. Go into Woolworths and see all that lovely display, sort of Aladdin's cave of eggs, but it was never, it was never Christmas.
The shops live for it, don't they?
And what about the, because we had a couple of questions I noticed online in the week about vegan chocolate, which I don't think we've ever discussed this.
No.
We've discussed a lot about vegan food. We've never done vegan chocolate.
No.
So
I don't remember
either. What's
the
deal there? I mean, do you like a slice of the chocolate?
Well, chocolate, I love chocolate, right? But not just vegan, but sugar-free. I love 100% chocolate. It's like, well, I was going to say it's like a drug, but
I was about to say that's kind of, you can't get that through border force, can you? You'll be in the county jail.
You definitely won't get it from Cadbury's, right?
It's caught peddling blocks of chocolate. I quite like that. So let's start with this story. The United Arab Emirates plans massive oil and gas expansion while hosting COP28.
I just think that's brilliant, right?
It's just, I mean, up there, isn't it? A lot of our headlines that we read out on this are just sort of come under the bracket, filed under utterly incredulous. This one's kind of gone Premier League on us with booster rockets.
It's perfect, isn't it? I mean, like, those guys shouldn't have been hosting it anyway, right? There was all that concern when it was announced that they were going to host it, that they were conflicted. And as your old nan would say, bugger me. And then they just go around and just double down and say, not only are we hosting it, people, but we're just about to have a massive expansion of gas and oil production just to, like, make sure you know who's in charge here, really.
You'd think even by the standards of some, you know, somebody might do it like quietly or when no one's like,
or just wait until a week after the event, right?
Yeah. These guys have put a press release out essentially saying, look at us, look what we're doing. Here's two fingers to you losers.
They're celebrating. They're like, not only are we the host, but look what we're doing. I mean, this just is a big F you to the whole world that cares about the climate crisis.
Absolutely. Government ministers meet climate change deniers all the time is the headline I spotted this week in the Independent. This one's marked under the file of tell us something we didn't know, right?
Well, yeah, because they meet each other all the time, right?
Well, that's also true, yeah.
And, you know,
apart from Green Rishi, of course, your favourite green man.
There's a whole bunch of climate deniers in the Tory party, a whole bunch. But in this case, the story's some digging Greenpeace did, some US think tank that is quite virulently against the climate crisis, been lobbying Kimi Badenoch. When she was standing to be leader, she planned to scrap net zero plans. And she met with them and, you know, they told her the science is nonsense and, you know, that kind of stuff, which is what they do. But they're renowned for twisting the science. They're the bad boys of the climate denial movement, I would say.
Well, we talked about this before, isn't it? There's sort of a kind of curious, perverse kudos in denial. It's not something where these guys go, no, I'm not a denier. No, I don't. It's not
Everybody
that.
Denies being a denier, do they?
Exactly. There's no denial of the denying. And that's the curious part about it. If there was a denial of the denying, you know, you could understand why they were denying. But there's no denial of the denying. So this is kind of like a badge of honor territory.
Yeah,
you hear them go, I don't believe all that bollocks. You know, and you think, wow, okay. So which part don't you believe in? Well, you know, all of it.
All that science, that's not science.
All that science.
All that expert stuff, nah, I don't believe the experts.
Yeah.
It's the weather. I think we're coming on to a very funny story. The Australians have found the cause of the climate crisis. I think you're about to tell me in a minute.
Yeah.
But, to some people, it's the weather. To some people, it's always been this way. They can't see that, you know, it's just the last kind of couple of hundred years where we've dramatically changed the carbon content in the atmosphere. It's undeniable, and yet they deny it.
Yeah. Well, as my old nan would say, look out the window. Kind of ticks the
read
box.
The news, right? Read the news about the record temperatures, droughts, wildfires, you know, all that kind of crazy stuff that's going on. It is going on.
Here's a question from Helen on Twitter. My local bookshop says Manifesto, which of course is your book, Dale, for the uninitiated, is out of stock. Will you be printing more? Well, there's a good reason it's out of stock, of course, and that's because it's like selling out fast. It's the UK's number one bestseller.
That's right. I'm reminded of when you told me that the reason we don't see hedgehogs anymore is because they're all in a safe, happy place, and that's why you can't find Manifesto. They've all been bought.
This is the hedgehog of publishing. That's what's happened. They're all in safe, cozy places on nice shelves, being taken care. They're on bedside tables. They're on trains, they're in rucksacks, they're in people's hands as we speak.
Yeah. So anyway, I mean, Penguin are printing more. They have printed more. We've still got some. We sold our first batch. We've got a second batch at the FJR shop. They are hard to find, though. We're hearing this from a lot of people going into bookshops and asking for them. But I think being number one bestseller now, that's going to change that. I think the bookshops are going to kind of grab stock. Penguin are definitely encouraging them too. And there should be more visibility, more availability this week.
This is a great moment, though, isn't it? Because this is probably how J.K. Rowling felt when she realized Harry Potter was shifting at a rapid rate of knots.
Maybe. I think that shifted at an incredible pace, didn't it? I mean,
indeed. But I mean, this is what's good about this is that they often say, if you talk to people in the publishing world, you know, genre-based books, you know, don't really get up the ladder into the sort of top 50. Well, you went from the top 50, like, you know, Lewis Hamilton on acid, and just like bypassed the top 40, 30, and 20 and went straight into number one. I mean, it's incredible.
Whinging all the way.
Yeah. And for those who don't know.
That was a Lewis Hamilton joke, but anyway.
That's a very good point. For those who don't know what we're talking about, I think you should have a listen to this.
Hi, I'm Mike Graham from Talk TV, and I've been asked to tell you about green issues and a new book called Manifesto. It's brilliant, apparently. Do you believe in climate change? I don't. Do you believe we all need to find a greener way of living our lives? No, I don't either. I think it's all a load of guff perpetuated by loony lefties and eco-zealots hell-bent on causing a nuisance. Do you believe we're all killing our beautiful planet? No. Neither do I, but I know a fellow who does. His name's Dale Vince. He's so convinced he's written a whole book about it called Manifesto. The Battle for Green Britain. It's part memoir, part handbook for changing the world and shaking it up, apparently. I won't be buying it, but you can if you want to waste your hard-earned cash. It's $4.99. Pretty cheap, isn't it? You must be wealthy as hell. According to this script, it's available now from fgr.co.uk/shop.
So there he is, the happiest man in the world, Mike Graham.
Yeah. So you're leaving out the bit where you described him as a miserable bastard to go down the pub with. Then.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay,
he's the funniest man to have a drink with because he's so miserable.
He's so funny. I love being on his show.
I reckon he bought 500 copies, by the way.
Yeah, I'm sure he's read it.
Or maybe not. I wonder if that Australian senator has found it in the bookshops in Australia who blames gravity for global warming.
I love that.
Who are these people? What's the story here, though?
I don't know. I mean, how on earth? I have no idea how he thinks gravity is to blame for global warming. I guess I could have read the article, but fuck. I mean, there are better things to do, right?
Let me tell you a little bit about Gerard Rennick. He's accused leading scientists of ignoring gravity's role in heating the planet. He's undermining the entire theory of greenhouse effect with a bizarre viral claim that scientists have been ignoring gravity's role. It was a tweet from the Senate. He's from Queensland, by the way, a member of the Conservative Liberal National Party. That kind of almost says it all. Of Queensland, which is part of the main opposition coalition, has gone viral this week and has been met with scorn, derision and plenty of corrections from high-profile scientists. Senator, you should be thankful you can't be impeached for ignorance, said one professor.
Yeah, a lot of them should be thankful for that, I think.
Well, he is what we were just talking about, isn't he? He's what, where, you know, I can't imagine, mate, all this bullshit about climate change. What are they talking about? They're forgetting gravity.
Yeah, honestly, it's beyond belief, really. Beyond belief.
Well, what's interesting, though, and this is, we can laugh about this stuff, but this comes into the kind of, you know, Donald Trump used to go on and still does go on about fake news while simultaneously creating fake news. But the point that's always raised in this area is this, because we can laugh about it and just write this joker off. But his tweet was viewed more than 850,000 times, and that's just in one place. So the likelihood it went on to Facebook and other places as well. So you find yourself in this weird kind of place where the professor who corrected him probably had his tweet seen 25 times, but the guy that wrote the lie, a couple of million in total. And there's where the danger lies, I guess.
Yeah, it backs up that old expression, doesn't it, that a lie's gone round the world before the truth gets out of bed.
Correct.
And that's how the social media and the internet works, isn't it? The more crazy and radical and stupid the things you say, the bigger your audience.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's the, you look on, it's almost sometimes you don't want to look because there's, I mean, he's just one example, but there's loads of others. It's almost worth publishing another book of those tweets, because it would make great loo reading. You know, one of those books you just stick in the lav because it's funny.
I imagine then a hybrid between a book and a loo roll, right? And you read the stupid page, you rip it off and, you know, do what you got to do.
Good point. This one in from Neil, who says, how is your school program going? I'm a head teacher in a primary school. Would be interested in finding out how we can do more for the planet. That's an encouraging email as well. Just enlighten us to what Neil is referring to, Dale.
Yeah, brilliant. We started this thing called Ministry of Eco-Education. It was about 2 years ago now. And we created an entire primary school curriculum. We worked with teachers. My local head teacher was the kind of starting point for this. Not mine personally, I'm not still at school, but a local headmaster. And we created a curriculum with sustainability woven into every single topic. Kids were asking for it, teachers were asking for it, and you know, it was missing. The government said they were going to think about doing it in about 3 years' time, have one of them consultations, but not now, in about 3 years' time. So we've done it. It's being used now by about 300 schools up and down the country. So it's going really well. We've created a secondary school version as well. It's all free. You can download it from the internet. Yeah, I mean, that part's great fun. And we're looking at the moment to do something new, which is to try and get solar panels into schools. We're looking to create a scheme whereby we can get solar panels on the rooftops of schools, help them with their energy bills, give kids a practical demonstration of solar energy, you know, with a little meter down in reception that shows how much is being made and used and that kind of stuff. And we're just working on the economics of a plan to do that ourselves. We'll fund it as Ecotricity and roll it out. Maybe we're going to target 100 schools to start with.
I just got an image in my head of Senator Gerard Rennick in Queensland pulling, discombobulating at everything you've just said.
Yeah,
I was with you on the polar bears, mate, but, you know, telling kids about this, have you told them about the gravity? That's what you need to do.
He'll be working on plans to pass a law to ban the teaching of climate science in schools, I imagine, by the sounds of him.
No solar panels in schools as well. I don't think he likes solar. But he looks like a man that doesn't like solar panels.
I haven't seen him.
Don't get him started on windmills. Here's another one. Red Tractor farms more likely to pollute the environment. These are farms that are members of the Red Tractor Assurance Scheme. This aims, of course, to guarantee good food standards. They're more likely to be polluters than those that are not, according to one internal government report seen by the Times newspaper. That's a bit disturbing because this was meant to be a mark of excellence.
For anybody that believes it, yeah. I mean, me, I'd file it in the category of tell us something we don't know, right? Because anybody that cares to take a look at the Red Tractor scheme can see that it's just bullshit. It's just a facade to try and persuade consumers, shoppers, that there's some extra care taken around animal agriculture and that kind of stuff on a Red Tractor farm. And, you know, the truth is far from that, as this internal report that's yet to be published has discovered.
I mean, it's used, of course, with great fanfare, by all the sort of supermarkets. As you rightly say, Doug, the idea is meant to kind of indicate a level of quality. But as you rightly point out, you know, this chicken was slaughtered in a slightly better way than that one over there. Is that kind of what they're saying?
Yeah, it's like that. And the way they live as well, you know, apparently. I mean, you hear this from the meat industry all of the time in our country. Whenever it comes up, the terrible way that we treat animals here, you'll hear somebody from the meat industry or the NFU saying that we have the highest levels of animal welfare in the world. You know, that's what they say. That's the go-to defensive line. But we treat them the best anywhere in the world. We treat them appallingly. And it doesn't matter if other people are treating them more appallingly. It really doesn't matter.
Here's a question from Kristen. It says, sending a message from Philadelphia, which just kind of firms up the international nature of all of this, Dale. Just wanted to say I admire your work and commitment to this cause. We need more Dales and less Donalds here in the US. Well, he's been in the county court this week, hasn't he?
He has.
Up there in front of the beak, pleading not guilty to charges.
The beak. That's funny because I was thinking that's a bit harsh on Donalds, actually. There are some good Donalds in the world, but then I thought the only one I can think of is actually Donald Duck. But there you have him in front of the beak, and that's quite funny to me. But
that was a curious piece of comedic synergy there going on.
It was brilliant.
Invoking some Disney as well, which is never a bad thing in any podcast. It's interesting that Trump could technically go to jail, but unlikely, apparently, technically.
He's in all kinds of shit, isn't he? You know, I mean, everywhere he looks, he's being sued by somebody for something. You know, tax fraud, lies. I mean, I think lies are the common thread through all of it. You know, then there's that election fraud by the cash bung to the porn star.
Stormzy. I wonder whether some people have peaked too soon on this, though, because of all the things
he's been at it for years.
but of all the things they could have him in court for, and told by, you know, some pretty tasty lawyers who look at this stuff, this is the least likely to stick when it gets into a courtroom. You know, that whole thing of, you know, burden of proof and, you know, beyond reasonable doubt, all that caper. There's quite a lot they can get him for in other places. But of course, if his contention is that this is an establishment stitch up, it's all bullshit, the Democrats are out to get him, he wants to drain the swamp, everyone's corrupt, the FBI, the police, the lawyers, the courts, the congressmen and women, they're all at it, and I'm little old Donald in the middle, and I'm on the receiving end. And if he goes to court over this and gets found not guilty, which he possibly will on this particular case, then it makes it really, that to him, in his world, that firms up his belief that it's a stitch-up. But what it then does, it makes it actually a lot harder to get the next case in, because people will go, wow, we know what they did to him before. So it could work out in his favor, weirdly.
Yeah, maybe so. I can understand that. But if you look at it, he's facing testimony by his ex-attorney, Michael Cohen, I think it is. You know, it's black and white in his evidence. You know,
Cohen's been to jail as well.
For exactly the same thing, right? So I don't see Trump getting off it. I don't see it happening.
Yeah, we'll see. But he's not due in court again until December. I mean, I know, listen, if you ran a business that took that long to get to the next stage, Dale, you'd fire folk, wouldn't you? I mean, that just is the legal process is ridiculous.
It is really slow. And it'll get tangled up in the next US election, won't it, for sure?
Yeah,
but that's his hope. And, you know, actually, he plays the long game. He challenges everything against him, taking up every layer of legal challenge that's possible before ultimately losing. And then the case proceeds against him. That's his MO, right? He's got a long track record of doing that. He's doing that now. And he'll hope to drag everything into the election period.
Yeah. Here's a story involving one of your ex-girlfriends, actually, Dale. Trey's Coffee. I say, for those who don't know, let's call it a dalliance, shall we?
Yeah, it was like that, wasn't it? She used me as a human shield.
On a, that sounds like something somebody might say to a charity.
A charity?
I was a human shield for this woman. She was, of course, escaping some press on an escalator, wasn't she?
She was. And I just happened to be behind her and in between her and the press on the other escalator who were harassing her on the way up. And then we got to the top of the stairs. I tried to get out of the way and she ducked behind me. And she did apologize when it was over.
Yeah, she's a very polite lady by all accounts. And she was very grateful for your intervention, I think, Dale, even though you didn't know you did anything, which is just by existing. Anyway, Trey's Coffee. targets water companies with unlimited fines for sewage dumping. This is seen as a national scandal. Now, it's interesting because the government has overseen almost an annual, year-on-year, week-on-week, month-on-month dumping shit into rivers in this country. Now they're getting high and mighty about it and are very upset.
Well, I think there's been a massive public backlash and media backlash about the sheer amount of shit that's being pumped into our rivers and into our seas and finding its way on our beaches and stuff like that. And rightly so. But, you know, it's become just something they can't run from. And so I would say rather belatedly, they're taking up the cause. The threat of unlimited fines is all very well, but where's the detail in all of that? What they should do, which I think maybe Labour have suggested, is ban shareholder dividends until the water companies clean their act up. That would hit them where it hurts them the most.
See, unlimited, that's great.
Yeah.
That sounds good. And I was just alarmed to read about the scale of this. In some cases, the sewage, you know, put it in simplistic terms, the sewage tap, which is, of course, a massive pipe, is belching out crap into rivers, sometimes for 2 or 3 hours nonstop. Now, you can't even begin to imagine what the hell is in there and the level of damage that would cause.
We're talking millions of tons, and in the last 12 months, 850 events every single day.
I mean, that's industrial scale, right?
It is industrial scale. And what they're doing is saving money by not treating that stuff.
Yeah.
and just dumping it instead and claiming, oh, it's all about rain overflows and we can't capture it when it rains. Or nonsense they come up with, right? But it didn't used to be this way. And now with privatized water companies owned by foreign pension funds who are only interested in taking money out of the water industry, this is what we've got. And this is, you know, this is how privatization works. This is the free market in action.
Staggers all round, I think, on that. Final question from Vivek, who says, congratulations, Dale, on getting to number one with Manifesto. Any plans for another book?
No.
That's right.
Oh, no, that's not true. No, wait. I have to check myself there.
So yes, in that case.
So yes, assuming. Actually. But kind of. I mean, more of a plan in a book. So we're doing a whole bunch of studies at the moment as the Green Britain Foundation into various aspects of how we get to be a Green Britain. We're looking at land use. We're looking at renewable energy, you know, energy, transport, food, the whole thing. And we're going to join all of this up into a blueprint for Green Britain and try to publish it ahead of the next election and get it in front of everybody. And I think that will probably take the form of a book. So yes, but no, if you know what I mean.
So there could be a form of a book on its way. I mean, they always talk about everyone's got a novel in them. I mean, I can't think of anything more terrifying than writing a novel. Is there anything in there? There's got to be something, Dale,
in
rattling
what?
Around in your years of experience.
What are you saying?
Well, I think there's probably one ready to go. There's surely a new Agatha Christie waiting to happen.
Oh, fiction, you mean?
Yeah.
Fiction. Oh, no, I'm more about the faction. Well, you know, most of my life is in Manifesto, not all of it.
Yeah.
So maybe there'll be a director's cut.
But you're only halfway through. So
well, that's a good point, right?
There
that's
is
a
that.
Good point. So, so like a blueprint for Green Britain, that's coming. That's kind of like penciled in. And that's where our work is headed at the moment.
Fantastic. Dale, that's it for this episode. Have a nice Easter, because I know you like to celebrate and do all of that. So,
well, that's very, very kind of you.
So it's my pleasure. We'll speak in a week, Dale.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
And that is it for this episode. Don't forget, of course, you can follow this podcast from your podcast provider so that you get each new episode automatically. Leave a review there too. And if you want to get in touch, email your comments at zerocarbonista@ecotricity.co.uk. Do follow Dale on social media as well, twitter.com/DaleVince, facebook.com/DaleVince, and of course, on Insta and TikTok too.
Zero Carbon East Talk.